Some days we light the chalice, symbol of our faith, to soothe our world-weary hearts, to chase away the chill of hatred with a bright, warm light. Some days we light our chalice as a reminder that we are not alone. We have a long history as a beacon of love and hope. Some days our flaming chalice is a blazing torch signifying resistance and revolution, a defiant symbol lighting the way as we take down walls within and among us and build unity and wholeness among our kith and kin, the whole of humankind. It's been another challenging week for us in this country, and yet I do want to point out that we have made some gains. There are more women who have been elected to lead both locally and nationally. There are more people of color who've been elected to lead, and there are more people of diverse faiths who've been elected to lead our country through this time. And even though we've elected them to lead, it is up to all of us to lead as well. No matter who you are, no matter what your age or your background, and I am talking to everybody in this room, not just the adults, okay? We have a responsibility for creating a peaceful and fair world. Anybody know which of our seven principles that is? Sixth, whoever was right is up on their principles. Yes, it is our sixth UU principle that says that we will create a peaceful and fair world. We are responsible for making that happen because every person deserves to be treated with respect, and how we treat each other impacts not only the person we are treating kindly, but it impacts ourselves and everyone else out there in the world too. If I hurt someone, they might feel bad, and they might feel so bad that they go hurt somebody else. But if I'm caring towards them, then they will feel better, and they'll likely go help someone, like our willing warriors. Or maybe they'll take care of an animal that they see who's having a hard time, or they'll take care of the environment. And we'll all be healthier and happier if that happens. So the message of the choir anthem, Take Down These Walls, is quite clear. Hear it as a charge for each of us in times like these, the ones that we're living in. Take down these walls that divide us. Take out this pain that surrounds us. Take out this strain that confounds us. We will never spread the word of hate and fear. But I would like us this morning to put that charge in positive terms. So this is the part where you get to participate. Let's put the charge in positive terms that we can visualize and make real in our lives. So how can we say, take down these walls in a positive way? Anybody? But there's a negative in there, Susan. I'm trying to get positive. Back there. Yeah, you. Okay, there's still a negative in there. I like it. Yes. Open the doors. Some other ideas, Mary? Talk to someone you disagree with. Reach out and connect. Build bridges. Okay, we got enough ideas there. How can we say, take out this pain that surrounds us in a positive way? You're getting warmed up. Go ahead. Lead with love. Excellent. Accept differences. Yes, Faye. Heal our relationships. Share the joy. Okay, we got some ideas there. Next one. How can we say, take out this strain that confounds us in a positive way? Yes. How can I help? Learn and understand in the back when? Be kind. All right, and we've got one more line. How can we say we will never spread hate and fear in a positive way? Spread love. Do unto others as you would like to, as I don't know which version of the golden rule you're thinking of. Yes. Just a small editorial note here. There are many versions of the golden rule. There's something called the platinum rule also, which is treat others as they would like to be treated. So we've got a bunch of suggestions. Here's what I came up with, and this is your charge. In times like these, I charge all of us to build bridges by spreading love and creating a feeling of safety with the goal of uniting all people through ease and understanding and ensuring that all people feel good and are healthy and happy. And now, those of you who are involved in the religious education program can meet Kristen in the back, so that we can sing you on your way. Several years ago, Peter Hughes wrote a short article in the UU World in which he said, despite the value we place upon critical thinking, Unitarian Universalists possess an active rumor mill. Amongst its productions are sayings attributed to beloved historical figures. I can think of a couple that have gotten out beyond our inner circles into the general population. For example, Martin Luther King Jr. is often given the honors of saying, "The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice," when he was, in fact, quoting Unitarianism's own Reverend Theodore Parker, a 19th century abolitionist and social reformer. In the UU World article, Hughes used the second line of this morning's reading as a case in point. I invite you to open the gray hymnal to number 566, God is One. I'll give you a moment to do that. Sometimes it takes a while to find the right page. The reading starts by saying that there have always been many worldviews, and you need not think alike to love alike. If you look over at the end of the reading, the top of the right-hand column, you will see that it is attributed to Francis David, whose name has a chalice symbol next to it, indicating that the author is a Unitarian, a Universalist, or a Unitarian Universalist. But you'll also see that the reading is an adaptation by Richard Fuchs, also a UU. Unless you have all read scholarly books written by distinguished UU historians, you might assume this reading is a reasonable translation of something that Francis David, a Transylvanian, said. If you look in the index for readings by Francis David, this is the only one in the hymnal. Fuchs isn't listed in the index. Although the text is purported to be an adaptation, it seems unlikely that David Ferenc, his name in Hungarian, spoke any of these lines, with perhaps the exception of Egy az Isten, God is One. Peter Hughes' 2012 article was titled, Who Really Said That? Francis David Didn't Say We Need Not Think Alike to Love Alike. Does it matter? In the age of Trumpism, when everything seems to get labeled as fake news, it probably does matter. And Hughes concluded that while he wasn't certain if we would value the quotes as much if they were not attributed to our founders, they are still good thoughts that express our central values. he also suggested that the value expressed in our fourth UU principle, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, calls on us to report and interpret our UU history as part of history in general, responsibly and accurately. Before I explore with you the meaning and the value in the phrase, we need not think alike to love alike, allow me to say a little more about its possible origin and historical context. A cursory view on my own of my UU history course notes and the scholarly texts by UU historians such as Earl Morse Wilbur, Conrad Wright, and David Park, which rely on original sources, turns up no mention of this now famous quotation. Hughes suggests that it first surfaced in the 1960s and then was published in a 1968 UUA pamphlet. From there, it took on a life of its own. Francis David, is most famous as the court preacher of the only Unitarian monarch in history, the 16th century Transylvanian king, Janos John Sigismund. David, who was born in Koloshavar, the capital of Transylvania, which is now in Romania, for those of you who are wanting to place your geography. He was possibly born in the year 1510, but we don't really know, was the equivalent of a modern-day religious seeker. This was at the time of rapid and sometimes radical developments in the Protestant Reformation. David explored each of the major Christian traditions, Catholicism, Lutheranism, and Calvinism. These were considered the three received religions at the time. Transylvania was situated in a kind of borderland between the Ottoman Empire, whose official religion was Islam, and the Holy Roman Empire, dominion of the Roman Catholic Church. Eventually, David found his way into the radical Reformationist camp that became known as Unitarianism. He was strongly influenced by the writings of Michael Servetus, a Spanish medical doctor and declared heretic, who was burned at the stake in 1553. And also, of course, other anti-Trinitarians like George Biandrata, who secured David's position as Sigismund's court preacher. David published False and True Knowledge of God in 1567, which was largely a reprint of a book written by Michael Servetus. This year, 2018, is the 450th anniversary of the famous debate or diet between David and the Calvinist bishop, after which King John Sigismund affirmed religious tolerance in the 1568 Edict of Torda. Actually, this particular edict built upon earlier ones, such as the 1563 edict, which itself reaffirmed the religious tolerance granted in a 1557 edict issued by King John's mother, Queen Isabella. So it all starts with her. What was different in 1568 is that Unitarianism became one of four tolerated or protected religions, all in the Christian lineage of the Abrahamic faiths in Transylvania. And King John Sigismund converted to Unitarianism. In addition, David's 1568 performance secured freedom of the pulpit for preachers, at least temporarily, which is, of course, a highly cherished value of our faith tradition. The following year, and this is where you all come in, the following year in 1569, the subsequent edict added freedom of conscience to the time-honored values of our liberal free faith. As a result of the 1568 debate, David became King John's advisor. However, this was short-lived because after King John Sigismund's death in 1571, David was replaced with Jesuit advisors favored by the new monarch. That was our heyday. Although David had become the Unitarian bishop in Transylvania, he was more and more at odds with even his own Unitarian contemporaries, who now criticized him for his further theological innovations. And ultimately, Unitarianism lost its protected status. As I look at the hymnal reading, God is One, it appears to me to be a summary of the main theological ideas that David Ferenc advanced during the height of his career, that we should use reason and conscience in our pursuit of truth and meaning, that without critical thinking underpinning our beliefs, faith has no integrity. Fuchs' adaptation makes a case for continual reform, or as we now say, a living tradition that evolves as our knowledge and understanding evolve. As a children's version of the Seven Principles puts it, we are always learning and growing. This reflects who David Ferenc was as a seeker and how he experienced his own theological development. The sentence about accomplishing salvation here on earth reflects the theology of 20th century Universalists more than 16th century Unitarians. The 16th century Unitarians were grappling primarily with the nature of Jesus and of God. Although it summarizes the primary concepts being explored and debated by David, it doesn't mean that he said them. Peter Hughes has explored in some depth the lives of early Unitarians, such as Servetus and David, through the scholarly pantheon of UU history. In that 2012 article, he points out that it has been suggested that "we need not think alike to love alike" might be a free translation of "it is harder to love than to believe," copied from Christianissimi Restitutio, published in 1553 by Michael Servetus, and wrongly attributed to David. Hughes points out that "we need not think alike to love alike" is nearly identical to a well-attested quotation from the Methodist founder John Wesley, who asked in a sermon on Catholic spirit, "Though we cannot think alike, may we not love alike?" Hughes then suggests that someone probably mentioned this Wesley quote during a conversation about Francis David and religious toleration. Alternatively, says Hughes, maybe it entered Transylvania during the 19th century, a time when Methodist Unitarians were at their zenith via the British Unitarians, or through an 1855 book that examined the confirmation of Unitarianism through Trinitarian testimonies. Transylvania is where Richard Boke heard it while on a tour in 1964. Boke is the author of that pamphlet that put the misquote in black and white. Regardless of its origin, the phrase "we need not think alike to love alike" is very compelling to us who live in the 21st century. It seems like I often turn on public radio and hear an interview or a conversation that turns on this admonition to put love ahead of our differing beliefs. And there was one such program on Here and Now when I took my lunch break during the writing of this sermon. The interviewee was talking about the need for unity despite our divergent political beliefs. And in fact, this morning when I was catching a bit of On Being with Terry Gross, who was interviewing James Doty, he talked about this being the time in history when it is the age of compassion, that we need compassion more than anything else, and that we have left the age of enlightenment for the age of compassion. Just because we don't have the same views about hot topics doesn't mean that we cannot come together to work for the common good of all people. Take down these walls that divide us. The walls are artificial. There is no reason for there to be barriers to working together. When John Wesley asked, "Though we cannot think alike, may we not love alike?" in his sermon on Catholic spirit, he was appealing to the meaning of Catholic as universal, the universal spirit, which is the spirit of love. The universal is part of our UU theology, is a theology of love and salvation for all. Early universalists were trying to reconcile a loving God with a God who would condemn some people before they were even born to eternal damnation with no opportunity for redemption. They couldn't. So instead, American universalists said that God is all loving, and through God's grace and forgiveness, all can be saved. As our theology has evolved, we have come to express this in terms of creating heaven here on earth. In other words, we make our own way through our actions and our deeds. We can all express and experience the saving grace of love for ourselves and for each other. Taking down the walls inside our own hearts makes us whole. Loving our own selves heals our personal pain and inner conflict. It creates a sense of serenity. As we move calmly and peacefully through our lives, we calm others. I suspect that many of you, if not all, have people in your lives that you particularly enjoy spending time with, because when you're with them, you feel a sense of peace. You feel seen or heard. If you are working out some issue for yourself, you may call up a friend or a family member in whose presence you feel able to make sense of what is confusing or causing conflict. Do you serve that role for others that you know? The stress and strain of life seems to ebb or flow away. Sometimes, once the strain has waned, we realize that our fears and anxiety were making walls that prevented us from finding solutions. "We need not think alike to love alike" is a quintessentially Unitarian Universalist statement. We like to discuss, debate, and cogitate everything. At least that's the stereotype. We are a community of shared values but differing beliefs. Our theologies are diverse. Some of us still identify with the religious tradition we were raised in, whether Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Buddhist, pagan, humanist, or atheist. Some of us have rejected or outgrown or evolved the theology of our youth. Some of us have built our own theology from bits and pieces of the world's religious and philosophical traditions, like a housing of agglutinated shell pieces. Nevertheless, we love this diverse community and the unique individuals that contribute to the whole. Last month, I was listening to a report about some social science research on differences between liberals and conservatives. The long and short of it was that psychological and biological predispositions, genetics, play a role in our political preferences. A part of our political beliefs is explained by the way each of us is wired genetically. We don't see the world the same way because the genetic component is not zero. It's not 70%. But it's not zero. We don't think alike because we are genetically different. Love expressed as caring and compassion, love, I believe, is something larger than all of us, something universal to human experience. Our beliefs, our thoughts, our politics, each of these can be described as the threads that, when woven together, become a strong utilitarian fabric capable of holding or carrying the most precious gifts of the community. Or we might imagine all these pieces of who we are separately as the many pieces of colorful glass, shards of ceramic tile, or scraps of fabric that are used to create beauty in the form of stained glass windows, mosaics, or quilts. The late Forrest Church, a UU minister, described our theology in the imagery of light passing through the many stained glass windows of a cathedral of the world. The following is an excerpt. A 21st century theology based on the concept of one light, Unitarianism, and many windows, Universalism, offers its adherents both breadth and focus. Honoring multiple religious approaches, it only excludes the truth claim of absolutists. That is because fundamentalists claim that the light shines through their window only. Skeptics draw the opposite conclusion, seeing the bewildering variety of windows and observing the folly of the worshipers. They conclude there is no light, but the windows are not the light. They are where the light shines through. In the cathedral of the world, we don't have to think alike to love the colors and patterns cast on the floor of the nave by the one light that shines through all the windows. Notice that church's cathedral of the world, the windows turn the walls into a permeable membrane that the spirit of love moves through. Forrest Church also writes in his essay on Universalism, a Theology for the 21st Century, that, as with all extended metaphors, this one is imperfect. The light of God or truth or being itself shines not only upon us, but out from within us as well. Together with the windows, we are part of the cathedral, not apart from it. Together we comprise an interdependent web of being. The cathedral is constructed out of star stuff, and so are we. We are not separate from the love that we give and receive. We embody love. We are love. We are life's longing for itself, to paraphrase Khalil Gibran. So although we are each of us as different from each other as our beliefs, we are all the same when it comes to love. And with that, let us rise in body or spirit to sing hymn number 322, Break Not the Circle. Please join me now for a time of prayer and meditation, followed by a little bit of silence in which to gather ourselves inward. Spirit of life, Spirit of love, we are grateful for this community, for the milestones achieved, for the health that is given to us even as we struggle to attain it. We are grateful for new life that is born to our families, for those who have long, long lives, for the four-footed among us who give us so much joy and comfort, especially when we're feeling down. We appreciate their presence in our lives. We are also holding in our hearts the well-being of Californians who are dealing with raging wildfires. Among them, our UU siblings in places like Ventura. We hold in our hearts also those who have been affected by violence, the violence that seems to ooze out among us and be inflicted on innocent people attending a nightclub or attending a worship service. We know that your love, O Spirit of life, is what needs to shine through the cracks. And we will help shine that love, because we're going to make sure that we build bridges. We are going to make sure that we pass along compassion. And we are going to make sure that we create healthy and happy communities in the ones in the community in which we live and the larger community of our nation. Spirit of life, Spirit of love, be with us and among us in the days ahead. Please join me now for a time of silence. Amen, blessed be, and namaste. Would you rise now in body or spirit for our final hymn, number 112, Do You Hear? Though we cannot think alike, may we not love alike. Truly, it is harder to love than to believe. Nevertheless, no matter how challenging it is to love, as Unitarian Universalists, we will draw our circle of inclusive love wide enough to bring all of the human family inside, because we need not think alike to love alike. We will build bridges by spreading love and creating a feeling of safety, with the goal of uniting all people through ease and understanding and ensuring that all people feel good and are healthy and happy. We extinguish this chalice, for our worship has ended. Our service begins.